Baghdad, everything was calm. Sarge said, it looks like the enemy's gone. It's gonna be a cakewalk, now what could go wrong?
Must have been a roadside bomb. Must have been a roadside bomb.
Carl, Dick, and George with smug satisfaction came into town with their roadside attraction. Doing a dog and pony, doing a dancing song.
I think it was a roadside bomb. I heard it was a roadside.
Good morning. Welcome to our program of anti-war poetry. We call ourselves Roadside Bomb. We've been performing around Portland for 3 years, ever since the bomb started dropping. And we are Patricia McLean, Heidi X, Stephen Spirit, Bridget Whipple, Fred Nemo, Anise Piaf, Dwayne Ponce, and Ethan Place. Let's roll.
Send war criminals to The Hague. Send them there where their dangerous minds of dangerous intelligence with dangerously separated patience and compassion, send them where they can start no war. Send war criminals to The Hague. Send Hitler and Kissinger, Stalin and Bush. Send Sharon, Osama. Send all those who seek death as a first resort. Send them all to The Hague. Let them run their own dirty little wars inside their very own dirty little home. Send them to The Hague. Get them off my rock, off the necks of the oppressed. Send them to The Hague. Send borders to The Hague. Nationalists to The Hague. Send fundamentalists to The Hague. Send poverty and discrimination, hatred and dictators. Send all governments to The Hague. Send the governments to The Hague. Let them sort their differences there. Then let them live amongst their soil. Even animals are smarter than this. Send separation to The Hague. Let me marry a woman of my choice. Let us live amongst the world, as is our destiny. Let humanity grow amongst our house. One people, one world, one love.
I entered the belly of the crosstown train. Across from me, a young soldier is gazing at Portland, grim and gray. I look to see what he is seeing, and what I see is the crumbling facade of modernity clinging desperately to the old city inside, which is trying to shed its itching skin. I'm suddenly aware that under the plaster lies something closer to the truth. Old streams that still travel their ancient course, breaking down bones of woolly mammoths killed by the last chthonic belch. This old tooth of a city is, I see, no fossil, but some living carnivore, long thought extinct, ravenous like the methane beast that waits in the bogs beneath the Siberian permafrost, ready to devour these latest upstarts to challenge its dominion. In the newspaper, I read that the river has swallowed a farmer's field. The storm has swallowed a city. Monsters have emerged from the skin of old and brittle men, ready to sacrifice to the dragon this tender young flesh, which goes so willingly into the gullet, oblivious to the flashing teeth.
My future. War is my womb. My mind has been raped. Now I must forgive? You should have said, now I must hate. Forgive if you can see. Look what they have done to my relatives and me. My relatives' body, the bodies, the dead. Love is imminent. Just hold a baby, then turn it upside down. Strap a bomb to my body when all there is left. This is how we fight. When you can't feel comfortable in your own skin, you chop yourself up. Love is imminent. Just hold a baby and then turn it upside down. Turn it to a bomb. It feels like loyalty. Turn it into a bomb. Love is a commodity. Strap a bomb to me. Archaic. I am 18. Archaic men making a difference. I am giving the world my 18 years, and it is sold. Love is a commodity. Strap a bomb to me. I don't walk with the living people anymore.
Like a skin, grace like a white skin. God shed grace on the purple hills, the amber waves, on the backs of the black, on the heads of the brown and the brown sky. God shed grace on the tree stumps, on the oil wells, on Prince William Sound, on Love Canal, on Three Mile Island, on our streets, on the purple faces in the winter chill. God's grace, a crown of brotherhood, of Jeb and George crowned, crowned with brotherhood, with executioner's hood, Guantanamo, death camp, palm trees and sand, and the forgotten. Shed God, shed grace on depleted uranium. Deliver our enemies, deliver our friends. God's grace on the children of Iraq. God's grace on the children of Afghanistan, on the children of Palestine, on our children pointing cannons at the children of the damned, whose God sheds no grace. Step right up to the edge of the cage. See the Christian nation. Don't you just love the Christian nation? The underground God nation, where God shed his grace, God shed her grace, God shed its grace. Never done wrong, always done right, never sinned, always forgiven. Chosen nation, greatest nation, number one, number one.
The urge to write poetry in protest of war and to continue to think that it's going to make a difference in, or that it's not going to make a difference, but the need to say something, to not be silent. People have been doing it for a long time, for at least 3,000 years. It, as there's a long tradition of anti-war poetry. I don't know if it's ever made a difference.
Think how much worse it would have been had it not been.
We will never know.
I think it does make a difference. You know, it's like, obviously it's not an immediate scale like we'd like it to see, mm-hmm. have this huge conscious mm-hmm. change, but mm-hmm. it's a, you know, it does make a difference. I mean, if we didn't have the books or the inability to communicate and have discussions with each other about things that bother us, what would that, where would that mm-hmm. put us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. We would just be this robot that functions mm-hmm. in the way that, you know,
also
the powers that be would want us.
The propaganda has it, that, you know, the revised history has it that it was the left-wing media that turned the American public against the war. Hmm. But I don't believe it. I think it was the poetry. In terms of Bob Dylan and Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison and Barry McGuire.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you
Opposition to the war was intrinsic to the enormous music renaissance that happened there, and it inspired not just the war protesters at home, but the men fighting the war in Vietnam.
Right.
And towards the end of the war, the most visible anti-war group there was were the Vietnam Veterans Against the War, and they all dressed like Jimi Hendrix.
I have rage. Oh Lord, I have rage. One thing after another fills me in this world, and oh Lord, I have rage. There are people in this world preaching murder in your name. My mother, my father have turned their disquieted backs on me. My brothers, my sisters are raped by their own senselessness. Our children are betrothed to our ancestral greed. Our children will rise to kill us in defense of the words that we teach them, and oh Lord, I have rage. O Lord, I have a sword in my belly. I have centuries of violence that not one war has dispelled. I have hands that swarm my throat ghost after ghost. I have a tongue that refuses to stop telling. I have a heart that refuses to stop loving, Lord. And O Lord, I have more than a rage. I have a growing seed in my inside. I have a grief inside. I have a prophecy that this rage is about to sprout. Flower, and who will come axe chopping when I cannot be cut down, when it is more than just me? It is many, many, many who will not be cut down, who are rooting upwards to find the flower, beauty, light, sun, open bird, free air of their rage. But first, Lord, the rage, and oh Lord, I have rage.
Something I read about from D.H. Lawrence, who said that, you know, we read so we know that we're not alone. And I always thought that was really an insightful statement is, yeah, you know that you're not alone. So there is some sort of hope that's gleaned from that, and it's the idea that there is, you know, some common thread there, a conscious community that does exist and enables you not to struggle with these own inner feelings that you have, this confusion that you have, this anger that you have. It allows it to be able to be, you know, dispersed into other people. And I think what it is like, it is very effective. However, we do have these powers of be that close those effective lines. You know, the idea of like sitting down with your neighbors in, or just sitting with people at the coffee shops and bringing up topics. You know, especially in our culture, we're not allowed to sit down. Well, it's starting to change a little bit, but the idea of we're allowed to sit down and talk about politics, but people are more apt to engage in entertainment, sporting activities, you know, music. And when you bring that up, you're starting to explore into some contention. But as things change and more stuff comes out about this particular war and some of the lies, and then, you know, it's just the idea is like people have that understanding there isn't something is wrong here. And now they can validate it through each other, you know, and that it's allowed to happen and spread as opposed to being locked down. We're not allowed to really communicate and spend time that we're so busy in our life.
Dead people shot all over the place. Shot dead, trying to get green grapes floating in the rancid water. Army machines raise guns under the uncommitted September sun. Bullets slink from barrels into chests, a figure searching polluted water for something, anything. Ripped slips hanging on nails of floating wood sail slowly by. A baby glides down a narrow passage of the French Quarter. I didn't have my chance. I didn't have my chance, is written in red on the bloated body. There's the mother doing a slow dance out the fourth-story window. She's swinging on shutters, slippery with tears. You bastard, she dances. You bloody bastard, she does a pirouette, a small ballet for the president. Her knees bend, her back bows. One hand holds up the bottom of her dress. The other slides along her leg, rolling down her nylon stocking. Slowly, slowly, balance the sill, old girl, balance the sill. She teeters. She carefully lifts her leg and removes her stocking, then braces her shoulder in the window frame as she fills the nylons with hairpins and brooches. She leans out, swinging the nylon around her head. Nylon lassoes break through the humid air. As she begins to hum, butterflies from her smeared lips of red, from her lipstick lines tracing lost kisses across the walls that surround her, past the altar of the ritual, into the room of lost history. Her husband, with pockets turned inside out, lies there beside two rats pocketing iodized pennies. She wrote in red lipstick on the belly of her dead baby, "I didn't have my chance," and threw the baby at the soldiers four stories below, standing there in wet socks. They showered the baby with bullets, afraid it would kill them first. When the headless body bobbed up to the surface, the soldiers doubled over and vomited their hearts into the murky waters of New Orleans and staggered off for drier land.
I think separate.
And culture is an ocean that spreads everywhere. Yes.
I think poetry on a molecular level is an incredibly powerful force because it's an output. It's taking the internal and you're outputting something. In this society today, we are asked to take in so much input that mm-hmm. sometimes we don't even spend time synthesizing and questioning and looking and feeling or researching. And so poetry sort of is a journey in that direction of synthesizing, taking in, and having a voice and having an output, which I think is so essential to our society today.
Absolutely. And it's our own personal, you know, assimilation of it. And it becomes our own personal, something that we've created within ourselves and express as a feeling of ourselves, you know, whether it's the anger or whatever that is, however it comes out in this poetic form, music, or any kind of form, the creative act. And I think that's really important that creativity and imagination comes back.
And it can inspire us and solidify our opposition and our actual real world works against the war and against what it stands for and against the liars.
And the liars will be the first to suppress things like poetry, anything that causes you to think and to synthesize and to have a voice.
I grieve for the world, not for the earth. She can take care of herself. I grieve that I will lose this world, that our children will lose this world. It will be lost to them, all the things in it. Life in the world will be lost to them. There will be starvation and pain, disease and death, and too many bodies for anyone to bury. We will burn them. Someone will toss my empty body on a pile of bodies and will throw other bodies on top and will light all of our bodies on fire, and the fire will reach up and the smoke will rise up and fill the sky, and the ashes will fall down on the earth, and someday some surviving thing will eat the grass that grows on the ashes that once were us. But nothing, but no one will have a memory of us. The earth will be empty of us. There will be cockroaches and beetles and flies. There will be ants and termites, rats. Surely there will be rats, maybe some fish. But every brilliant sunset will go unremarked. Every dawn will just be the earth turning, and the sun will just be a star, and no one will be blinded by it. Everything will be nameless. No child will run down a deep dirt road kicking up a whirlwind of trouble. All that we have written, all that we have painted, all that we have sculpted, all that we have danced, all that we have sung, all will be gone. No memory, no memorial, no future civilization. When we are gone, it ends with us. It ends. It is empty. It is a plain, a forest, an ocean, a rolling sphere, cradling life because it is irrepressible, because it renews itself, reinvents itself. It has no need of us. It is indifferent to us. We are something only to ourselves. And when ourselves no longer exist, all of humanity will vanish. All of humanity, from the beginning of human time to the end of human time, will vanish. The trace of us will be in what is not there that was there before our coming, before our destroying, before our destruction. But not one single living thing, neither beast, nor bird, nor reptile, nor cockroach, will note the evidence. And who among the dogwood and palms, and which blade of grass, will comprehend the loss?
This music screams to be heard. Every single one of us in the world, there is me. Listen to this screaming, alive, and my God so aware. We know the crimes, know them by heart. Every single one of us, written in blood, proclaimed in this death culture. The beauty we make of the crimes like graveyards and bone churches. This death disease we don't care to stop. What a beautiful remorse we share.
Really, you don't want, the powers bees wouldn't really want the individuals within society to discover that they do have their own voices. They do have their own imagination. Mm-hmm. They do have this own power that can come together, you know, within a critical mass. We do have that, but we no longer have the, you know, the instant access to our own sort of mind that hasn't been altered in some sort of way.
In all of England, one officer offered to make a public statement against the war, and he was hurriedly hustled into a mental hospital.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when Heidi's saying too, that energy that's associated with it, with that, the poetry, what's coming out, or the art, the creativity, the critical analysis of a situation, there's an energy that comes out from that.
Right.
You know, it isn't so easily recognized, and so we discredit that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it is there. You feel it when you're talking. Someone's talking to you and they're giving you information, or you're talking about a certain something. You can feel that there's something right about it. You want to know more. There's an energy that's sort of expelled from that. And I think that's another wonderful thing. It's like, what is that? Why does that exist? You know, that's the will to actually live in some sort of way.
It's a direct counter to Barbara Tuchman's wooden-headedness, her folly of power. And that critical analysis, I mean, poetry endorses critical analysis. Poetry exemplifies critical analysis. And critical analysis is the lack of critical analysis is the way the wars begin.
Absolutely.
Who can write poems in the shadow of angels? Who can write poems on a tear-stained cheek? Who can write poems on oil and sand with a comrade's still warm blood? Who can write poems in a language extinguished by the murder of a people? Who can write poems on the melting glaciers? Who can walk the streets of drowned cities? Who can describe the final haunting cry of the planet's last living raptor? Who can sing the petals of a trillion dying buds? Who can dance on the edge of the abyss with the ghosts of her fleeting children? Who can exclaim this love to the moon? Who can scream this rage at the stars? Who can soothe this broken heart? Who can write poems with the ink of collapsing atoms on the event horizon of the black hole at the center of the galaxy? Who can glide his boat along the banks of denial while praying to his God of hope? Who can write poems like butterflies on a warm summer day? Who can write poems like violets in the silent spring? Who can pen sonnets on this morning of our suicide? Where are the poets who can speak an unspeakable beauty? Who has the wisdom to restore the balance to this tilting world? Who can write poems to lift our sinking spirits? Who can write poems to make us dream once more? Who can write verses with the laughter of children? Who can sing stanzas in the morning's sweet mist? Who can inscribe poems on the surface of the setting sun? Who can write poems on this beating heart? Who can give us the strength we need, O Spirit of my people? Who can give us the courage to continue this struggle?
Oh, my people, or your people, their people, our people, my people. No, my people ask for nothing and give everything. We've all heard it. Well, my people never, and my people didn't, and my people wouldn't. And my people know there is no their people, our people. We know it is all just people. No, my people don't speak the weak thinking. We know that to finger the oppressor only thumbs the victim. We learn from each other, because it's global now. There is no retreating from that paradigm that we're all here together, solid common denominator. Even physics desperately pleads for us to recognize the real web of energy. My people don't have to follow the moon and the stars, the elements, the tides and season course in us like a constant dance. My people are happy and sad, insightful, hardworking, loose playing, and generous. We're cynical but inspired. We know that we don't know. Are you my people?
Baghdad, everything was calm. Sarge said, it looks like the enemy's gone. It's gonna be a cakewalk, now what could go wrong?
Must have been a roadside bomb. Must have been a roadside bomb.
Carl, Dick, and George, with smug satisfaction, came into town with their roadside attraction. Doing a dog and pony, doing a dance and song.
I think it was a roadside bomb. I heard it was a roadside bomb.
We rode into Dayton to try to make some change, but at the polling station it sure looked strange. A line of black faces, seven blocks long.
I think it was a roadside bomb. I think it was a roadside bomb.
Must have been a roadside, must have been a blind side.
Must have been a roadside bomb. Must have been a roadside bomb.
We went to the streets to raise our voices, assert our rights and expand our choices. But the cops came by, said you gotta move along.
Must have been a roadside bomb. Must have been a roadside bomb.
They leave us no exit and no place to turn. I think there's a lesson I'm starting to learn. It's time to speak up, it's time to stand strong.
I think I'll be a roadside bomb. I'm gonna be a roadside bomb.
I'm gonna be a roadside, I'm gonna be a blindside.
I'm gonna be a roadside bomb. I wanna be a roadside bomb.
And you are listening to the Thursday morning radio zine on KBOO Portland. The preceding KBOO program was made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons, mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories available in organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com. Coming up next, Julie Bernard hosts Art Focus. Folks from Pike are here to talk about their 16-year anniversary and their birthday party, Tada. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, hear about a lawsuit filed by the families of four private security contractors killed in Fallujah in March of 2004. But before we get to that, we've got a ticket giveaway. This is for the 16th annual, it's 16 years for the Buckman thing, so maybe I got the Pica thing wrong there, but it's 16th annual Buckman Art Show and Sale on April 21st and 22nd. Friday night, you've got Ed Bennett and Tony Puccini in a silent auction. And Saturday, you've got Brothers of the Ballady and Courtney Von Drail of Portland's eclectic ensemble, Three Leg Torso. Those available to the first caller at 503-231-8032. That's 503-231-8032. If you want information about the Buckman Art Show and Sale, you may call 503-233-4380. But for those tickets, the first callers at 231-8032. Stay tuned for Art Focus.